Everybody say this with me. How many had one of these bracelets in the past? What would Jesus do bracelet? Say it with me. What would Jesus do? Which is really important. What Jesus did is important to your success. For the Bible says in Romans 10 that we are reconciled to him through the death of Jesus Christ, his son. How many glad that you have eternal life this morning? Say amen. Right on. A lot of what I do on Sunday mornings is to remind you to rah-rah Jesus. Somebody say rah-rah Jesus. It's to remind you of every good thing that's happened in your life, because I don't have time for the negative stuff. I just have time to tell you how good God is, and the goodness of the Lord is the solution for all the negative stuff. Someone say amen to that. So I am grateful for eternal life, but everyone say better yet. What could be better than eternal life? That we have and are reconciled and we are saved through the life that Jesus had. That we are saved through Jesus' life example or his lifetime of work. Say that with me. His lifetime of work. The average person is guaranteed, or not guaranteed, but the average person has 25,915 days on this earth to get the work done. Jesus did it in 12,227.5 days. Let the church say amen. That's pretty good stuff. But through those days, one of the things he taught us was to include God in the equation. No matter what you're trying to add up in your life, in your job, in your world, include God in the equation. Let him be the square root. Let him be that equal sign. Let him be in the equation. And Jesus did that. And if you do that, you will receive a life map, a health map, and a wealth map. Life and health map, we've been working on sermons from these different topics. You can find online. They're being delivered. You can pull them up anytime you want to online. But today we're going to be talking about the health map, and we're going to talk about how Jesus stayed healthy. How many know Jesus stayed healthy? But he had to make a decision to stay healthy. If he just ate at McDonald's every day, he might have had to struggle, and God then said, well, you don't feel so good because you eat at McDonald's every day. Try a vegetable every now and then. Don't ever forget, Jesus' DNA included Mary, so he could get a sniffle or a cold. Right on? So many are guys, you got like legendary hero Jesus. But that's not what he came to be. He came to identify with us to show us the way back to where we came from. Amen? Because I am a son and daughter of the Most High God. I belong to God. So there's deity in me. Somebody touch your chest and say, there's deity in me. That's what I want to get out of you. You're here this morning for me to get the deity out of you. I'm not here to talk to you about how to get other stuff. I want you to be your best self. And the best self is locked up in your identity in Christ. Someone say amen. Let's stand on our feet and read the Bible. Let's do it. Because that's one of the reasons how Jesus stayed successful. Everything he did, he learned from the Word of God. And this is one of the scriptures he read. Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. Let's read it together. Everybody say it. Trust in the Lord with what? In what? Don't depend on your own understanding alone. He's not telling you to be a brainless person. You got a brain to make decisions. But he's saying include God in your thought process. Have an original idea, but ask the Lord in prayer. What do you think of that idea? He'll answer you. Keep going. And what will happen? If you believe that and you've had that happen, give God a praise offering. Amen. Everybody say this. Say good medicine. Say it loud. For the Bible goes on to say that do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring what? This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. How many believe the Bible is true this morning? Do you believe it's true? So he's telling you that this evil thing of being wise in your own eyes is debilitating to your health. Proverbs really saying to you that being wise in your own eyes is not healthy. And being wise in your own eyes, I've gave the description of as being a jerk. Everybody say, I don't want to be a jerk. That's a sarcastic, know-it-all, you know everything, that you can't be taught, all those things. But if you run away from that, you have to find the antithesis of being wise in your own eyes. And there's two things I believe are the antithesis of being wise in your own eyes. Say them with me. Be childlike. And what else? Be humble. Be childlike, be humble. Jesus said all those things will make you healthy. Will make you better. So today we're going to talk about 10 characteristics of humility. We've covered some of them already. Say it loud. Ready? Humility. Tell somebody next to you, say, humility is good for your health. So calm down. Right on, calm down. Calm down. Right on. Still here? Now, quick recap. Now, when I do a recap, I need you to say, number one, number two. That makes it go faster. When we have a dialogue, things move faster. And I talk fast, right? I try to, if my wife were in the room, she'd be going, slow down. It's like, I got a lot of things to say. Slow down. Right on. Ready for recap? Here we go. Ready? Number one is this. They trust God. One of the great characteristics of those who are truly humble, they trust God. Say it. Number two is they are thankful people. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus, three times. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say it. Number three, you're not doing it with a growl in your voice. Try it again. Ready? Number three. Number three is they are in awe of God's goodness and grace toward them. How many are grateful that you're forgiven this morning? Say, I've got a clean slate this morning. I can start again and pick up where I left off and try to get it right this time. Everybody say number four. Number four, they can identify with others. They feel each other's pain as well as feeling each other's joy. They just are into you. Look at somebody say, I'm really into you in Jesus' name. See, I have to qualify that in Jesus' name. I'm going to qualify that. I want no weirdness. No weirdness at church. Everybody say number five. Number five, they practice unity through peace. Right on. They're peaceful people. And they want to get along pretty much with everybody because that's the best way. So we should be pursuing dialogue with one another because separation is not power. The Bible has taught unity is power. Unity is power. Keep going. Number six, they are not wise in their own eyes. In other words, stop being a jerk. There, now I'm your life coach. I love this meme. All right. All the Star Trek friends say amen. Amen. Here we go. Number seven, they forgive quickly because they have been forgiven much. In the story of the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears in her hair, the Bible said of her that she was forgiven so many things that she could not help but love Jesus. And that the reality of being forgiven is that all of us have been forgiven much. All of us have stinky things. All of us have a chapter in our life that we don't read out loud. So all of us have been forgiven much, and if that be true, you should be a lover of others and of God. Someone say amen. Amen. Somebody say number eight. Amen. Number eight, they have a teachable spirit. So unless your name is Google this morning, don't act like you know everything. Amen. Then that's the moment somebody comes up to me and says, yeah, actually, my name is Google. Actually, I'm the founder of Google. I was going to write you a check for that thing, but since you made fun of me. Anyway, but we want to grow in grace, and we want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Today, we're going to look at number nine, and that's right, number nine. Thank you, Russell. Russell's in the room, everybody. Number nine is they build each other up. Give somebody a high five next to you. Right on, for the Bible says, encourage one another and build one another up. Encourage one another and build one another up. Encourages to prove someone's spirit by giving them hope and confidence or motivating them. I'm motivated this morning because someone encouraged me. God even encourages me. And many times I encourage myself. Someone say amen. Let us now declare the miracle of abundant life. Are you tired of standing yet? You doing good? All right. Are you ready? Say it with me. Lord, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Give him a praise offering as you sit. Go ahead and encourage God. You may be seated all around the room. Wanted encouragers. The world has plenty of critics already. Sincerely, the rest of us. Amen. World's full of critics. We need more encouragers. And the emphasis of today's message is to make you mindful of how important it is to be an encourager, or being an encourager on purpose. On purpose, waking up every day, looking at ways of motivating myself and motivating others to be their better selves in Jesus' name. So the Bible says this, encourage one another and build one another up in the name of Jesus. Let's look at that word encourage just for a second. In and courage, two words, well, meaning to give courage, to give courage. How many know you got to have courage to give courage? Can't give something you ain't got. Some people might not think you have courage, but as soon as you reach out to somebody else and give it to them, what, guess what happens? You realize, oh, I really did have courage. I really do have it. Well, it means to give confidence, give support, or give hope. In means, it's a prefix, a French prefix, meaning this, within or in me. Say it's in me. It's in me. Occurring in loan words like in the Greek, like energy is in you, or enthusiasm. It comes from you. Greater is he that is in you. There are amazing things in you, including courage. Because God put it there, and you're made just like him. But also, the second part of it is courage. And courage in the original Latin means core, or where you get the word coronary, meaning heart. And the usage of it in Old English was that in the ancient days, when you introduce yourself to someone, you would tell a story about yourself. And how many know, it's not easy to tell stories about yourself, maybe to strangers. Not the easiest thing. So it would require courage to do it, to stand up with your whole heart and tell the truth. Someone say, amen. It's also the ability to do something that frightens one, or strength in the face of pain or grief. How many have ever had to have that before? Amen? So, to surmise is this. To encourage means to give courage. Give somebody a high five on the side of you and give them some courage. Right, that's what we do. Right. We get our team ready. We're going to go win. Encourage somebody else. Synonyms for courage is this, bravery, valor, fearlessness, nerve. Somebody say, he got nerve. Audacity, boldness, grit. I like grit. Ooh, I like grit. And daring. Get your dare. Everybody show me your daring eyes. It's going to get done today. Nelson Mandela said, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not the one who does not feel afraid, but he is the one who conquers that fear. Amen. See, fear is a big issue. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, you know what the manifestation of the fall was? Adam said to God, I hid because I am what? Afraid. So before everything goes wrong, and before you realize something goes wrong, Adam is already manifesting the side effects of being separated from God. And the first side effect is fear. And it permeates our entire culture. It permeates your nation. It permeates nations around the world. People do the most outrageous things because they're afraid. That's why we should be compassionate. Even when things are outrageous to us, be compassionate. It's a really fearful person there that's struggling finding what's true and what's right. Someone say amen to that. And say, I was once fearful as well. Did outrageous things when I was fearful. But thank God that he's given me confidence this morning, because I know that he is the Son of God. An acronym for fearful or fear is false evidence appearing as real. Anyone ever have that happen before? It's not true. It's not real. There are people that have moments in their life they thought they wouldn't be here next year. Amen. But God is good. The deal is, another way to look at fear, it has two meanings. Forget everything or run, or face everything and rise. That's your choice this morning. You're going to cut and run, or you're going to stand there and believe that God is with you through it all. Amen. The world needs more encouragers to fulfill God's will to lift the humanity's condition, or the condition of humanity. This morning, if you intentionally go out to be an encourager today, you will begin lifting the condition of humanity. It may seem small, but if you get 10 people, 100 people, there's exponential growth and power. As soon as you add somebody else, everybody say, one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. See, that math is weird, isn't it? You would think that 1 plus 1 makes 2. If 1 made 1,000, then 2 should make 2,000. But no. If you put one ox and pull the cart, he can pull it by himself. But if you put a second ox yoked with him, he can pull 10 times that weight because they're yoked together. Someone say amen. So knowing that there's power in being unified and encouraging, why wouldn't we do that all the time? So with every person that goes out and intentionally does what Jesus would do, there's exponential power in the world that increases every day. Everybody say it's getting better every day because none will perish. That's his goal. He doesn't want anybody to lose. He wants you all to win. Encouragement is fear's biggest kryptonite. Everyone say kryptonite. How many know what kryptonite is? All the Superman fans in the room. Tell somebody this. I encourage. What's your superpower? Do you have a superpower this morning? Well, find it. You need a superpower. But encouragement is a wonderful superpower to have. And so with that being said, being an encourager on purpose is how we stay saved. In the first sermon of the church, they came to Peter. After Peter preached, he had challenged them. The people said, what must we do to be saved? Peter said something really interesting. He said, save yourself from your generation. Save yourself from your generation. You've got to identify. See, God has a way of putting you on the cutting edge. Do you know encouraging people right now is on the cutting edge of what the culture is doing? Someone say amen. God's love, peace, and his principles put you on the cutting edge of where things are going to go. That first church was on the cutting edge of where things were going to go. While they were pandering about whatever they were doing, Jesus was preparing them for the future. A future where people would live peaceably, where people would take care of those that are in need, where people would be educated. Imagine that. He's preparing them for where all different types of children would have opportunities all over the earth. Amen. The church in the first century was on the cutting edge of everything that was economical, social, and logical. They were on the cutting edge. If you fall into the principles of Christ and save yourself from the prevailing winds of your culture, you will be on the cutting edge of where God is going. You will be a step ahead. You will have cultural agility. Say, I have cultural agility. All the football fans in the room love a guy with agility, right? I want the agile guy carrying the ball. Thank you. Amen. Give it to the agile guy. You know, the guy that can duck, run, do whatever he needs to do, right on. I need him to have the ball. Because the probability is if you have agility and you know how to improvise when you're moving in life, hallelujah, improvise, agility. My knees are already hurting. I'm not as agile as I used to be. But the kingdom of God makes you agile. The principle of God makes you agile in this life. To be able to move into every circumstance, situation. Paul said this, be to all people what? All things. Well, you got to be agile to do that, baby. Because there's a lot of all things out there. But if you know how to save yourself, you can save others, right on? If you know how to encourage yourself, you can encourage others, right? If you know how to dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Amen. Amen. I had to do that real fast. There's a story about David. He was in a crisis in his life. King David. He came to a situation where things weren't going so good. Someone came in and confiscated their families, their riches, while him and his men were out fighting and doing some warring. So David came back, and his guys blame him. Said, David, this is your fault that this is happening. David, it's because of you. We're so discouraged. We've lost our families, our riches. Everything is gone, and it's your fault. And they were contemplating killing David. And the Bible says that David was greatly distressed. He'd always been in the driver's seat. He'd always been in that place where people were with him. And now he was in a bad place. And he didn't know where to go get encouragement. But David did one profound thing. David encouraged what? Say it with me. But David what? Right on. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David gave himself courage in the face of opposition and poor moment and unexpected things. Someone say, that's a good thing. Be able to do it. So we're going to look at encouragement. 5 habits of an effective or effective encourager. 5 habits. 5 habits they must have. And the 5 habits are this. Everybody say it. Number two. Number three. Let's try them again. First one. Right on. And what? Right on. And what? Right, watch your mouth. And finally, have empathy. Have empathy. So let's get there. Let's look at identify. I need some teenagers. Hey, Ashley, come on up. Come and join me. Ashley, all you guys in the back there that are under the age of 18, come over here and join me. Come on up. I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. Move a little bit faster now. You're under 18 and can. Come on, come on, come on, come on. How many you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We got it. Somebody say amen for 10. Right on. Okay, line them up across the room. Line them up across the room. Cubs. We're identifying things that we can encourage. Like these guys are going back to school in 2 weeks. Ava and Tegan, they're heading off to college next Friday. So we want to equip them to be able to be effective encouragers because the world needs encouragers. Everybody say amen to that. But if you don't know what to encourage, you don't know what to look for. So sometimes statistics can help us be aware that this might be you. This might be you. So with that, we're going to go with 4 out of 10 teens. Say it with me. So I need four of you guys. Ashley, come up here, step up there, and get on this. I need Samuel up there. I need Skyler. What's with the North Carolina stuff? You know, Peyton, you got North Carolina. Anyway, we're in Minnesota. Charity up here. Right on. There we go. Okay, you guys come across right here. And what I want you to do is I want you to create a visual for me. Look at them. Turn around and look at them. Now, here it is. You've got four teens that may be susceptible to the following things we're going to tell you. You've got six teenagers that could be overcomers from this. Number one, say it with me. We're fear taking a test. Four of the kids that you run into, four of the young people that you might meet, they may fear taking a test. So it might be Skyler, might be Samuel, might be Ashley, might be Charity, but chances are, if you throw a rock at least five of them, you could get one. Right on? Right on. Another one. 4 out of 10 teens are what? Or suicide. So while I'm sitting in a classroom with my friends trying to be Jesus, doing what Jesus would do, I might this year identify someone who has very dark thoughts about themselves in the daytime, who has very insecure feelings about themselves, that brings them to the very point of actually wanting to take their own life. And if our kids are aware that this is a potential, they walk into their schools and places with more to do than just get in trouble. Amen. Right on. Another one is this. 4 out of 10 teens are afraid of peer pressure or not fitting in with people at school. How many are afraid of that? Anyone afraid of that? Fitting in? No one's going to admit it, of course. But four of these kids may be potential. But these six kids could help those four. Someone say amen. Somebody say just do it. Everybody say 5 out of 10. Okay, we're going to take you out of the bunch and you're going to join them. Here we are. Everyone say sanctify. Do you know what sanctify means? Sanctify means to set apart. To set apart someone. So what I'm really doing in the illustration is I'm sanctifying those who may be potential for those things that need encouragement. How many are here with me? And I set them aside for special attention. Anyone ever need special attention before? Absolutely. All of us have. Thank God and give God praise for everyone at the right time in the right place that gave you special attention in your life. Right on. They deserve it. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. Right on. 5 out of 10 teens will be afraid of talking to their parents and teachers about personal problems. So 5 of these guys, may need encouragement about their teachers. They may need time after school with their teacher. They may need to talk to them about their math or their English or what they may be failing in class about. How many are still here with me? Any of you ever had to talk to a teacher about something, felt uncomfortable about it? Anybody? Anybody? Yep. Felt uncomfortable about it. Not the easiest thing to do. But guess what? there's a 5 in 10 chance that one of your friends during this school year may come to you and say, man, I'm really struggling in this class. And you're going to say to them, dude, you need to talk to your teacher. But I'm afraid. No, I'll go with you. Right on. How many are willing to go with them? Say, I'll go with them. I'll go with you. And then leave real fast. Amen. 5 of 10 teens are afraid of having to audition or try out in order to be part of something. I can validate that. You should see the kids that audition for the children's plays and things like that. It's amazing. But they overcome it. And many of them are going to have opportunities to be in groups and different things. They're going to want to try out their team, and you might have to encourage them, Solomon. Do it. Just do it. Solomon shared a testimony how him and Mikey are friends here in church, and actually they're neighbors too. But Mike's running cross-country because you and Solomon are friends. And you encourage one another about it. And you're going to be fantastic this year. I know that to be true because both of them are very, very good athletes. But just, I was working with them one day building a set for the children's play. I was amazed how they encouraged one another. Two boys just talking it up. Hey, man, we're going to go hit the weights early in the morning. Hey, man, we're going to do this. Hey, man, we're going to get up and run. I might not feel it. Ah, you can do it. Look at somebody say, you can do it. You can do it. So 5 of 10 of them feel like they might not be able to do it, but the other 5 can say, you can do it. Right on. Everyone say 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10 teens are afraid of money, for instance, worrying about how to pay for things. So, hon, you go up here. Sherlanda, you come and join. So, wow. A lot of kids have this stress, right? You'd be amazed how many kids are afraid of what's happening in their home, what's happening with their parents, what's happening, particularly when we went through the economic crunch. Kids were very stressed out about money. This number's gone down a bit since then, but it's still up there. 6 out of 10 worry about this. 6 out of 10 teens say school life stresses them out more than home life. Now, we can be kind of comforted about that, you know, 6 out of 10 of our kids like being at home than other places, amen, but nonetheless, stress, bad stress, is not good stress. Everybody say 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 teens are afraid of the future or life and graduation. Go ahead, Peyton. Of course, Peyton's an A student. He's not very afraid of that. Right on. So when you're in school, you got a group of 10 or 100 kids, 70 of those kids are not sure they're going to graduate or have questions about it. But guess what? That's an opportunity to do what? To encourage. Right on, right on. Let's look at this one. Let's go back. Well, this one is 8 out of 10, so I need one more. I don't know why the 8 didn't show up, but there we go. 8 out of 10 teens are afraid of poor academics or school performance or that they're not going to get good grades in school. You say, well, what, really? Yeah, that's a lot of people. But that's a lot of opportunity to be an encourager. Everybody say, I am an encourager. This is a big one. It's 3 out of 10, so everybody come down because we're going to flood this one, except for Samuel, Ashley, and Skyler. You stay. You stay. Come down front. Because 3 out of 10 teens are afraid of being bullied or harassed at school this year, amongst their group, team, club, no matter. And so if it's 3 out of 10, that means there's 7 of us that can encourage you, that can secure you, and make you not afraid. I want the young people in this church to be courageous and comfort and help those who feel disadvantaged or afraid or fear they're going to be harmed. And if you make a vow to do that, the Lord will open opportunities for you to be courageous and give courage to someone else. Thank you guys for doing my illustration. Guys, give them a praise. Amen. So being encouraged is on purpose. You must identify the fear and let encouragement begin. The other one is this, be intentional. Everybody say, be intentional. An action performed with awareness done deliberately, consciously, or on purpose. These kids can be intentional now because they have the facts. So they can do it on purpose. Oh, I got that. He's afraid of being bullied. I got that. He's afraid to talk to the teacher. I've got that. I can be like Christ and encourage them to go forward. See, love is a verb. Love not in word alone, but in deed. Everybody say, do something. For faith without works is dead. So if you got faith, you better do something. Because if you don't do anything, you don't have faith. That's what the word is saying. Everybody say amen. It says also to be obsessed. Obsessed can be a beautiful word in the right context. Jesus said when dealing with forgiveness in your life, be obsessed about it. 70 times 7, forgive somebody. 490 times a day, make sure that you're in a cycle of mercy and forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness. Not all messed up, vengeful, and angry. You've got to get your psyche right. Repetition gets your psyche right. Just like your physical body. You know what your weakness is. Basketball players, all the basketball players in the room say amen, amen. But you know what? If you want to be good at your craft and you're not a good left-handed dribbler, dribbling with your right hand is not going to get you there. So what do I have to do? I got to tie my right hand behind my back and I have to obsess with my left hand until my left hand works like my right hand. So it is with your emotions and your feelings and your thoughts and your perceptions and how you deal with people. If you are not a very patient person, work on it. Work on listening. Work on do those different things. Work on being an encourager. Work on smiling. Work on presenting yourself in a way that builds others up. Be obsessed about change. Say, Lord, I am obsessed about change. Soon as I identify it, I do it in Jesus' name. And the final two are this. Ephesians 4 and 29 says this. Watch your mouth. Look at somebody and say, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. For the Bible says, let not unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Watch your words. And not only watch your words, be sure you taste those words before you spit them out. Right on. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So when I taste his mercy, it's good. When I taste his love, it's good. When I taste what I used to be, what I've become today, boy, it's good. God is so good. Say it with me. God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Watch your mouth. Taste your words. God is good. And finally, have empathy. And empathy is more than sympathy. He says, be wholesome with your talk and be careful about it, but speak only what is what? Helpful for what? Building others up according to their needs. Now, this is cutting edge thought. Because so many of you are isolated to things that you identify with because you can have empathy for that because you walk through it. But look how many people miss out because you don't expend the energy to walk in their shoes. It takes energy to walk in someone's shoes. It takes energy to see something on television and ask, why is that person doing that? And they say, wait a minute, I'm going to stop asking why. I'm going to become that person and understand why. And then when you dig down deep, you'll find it's just fear. If you live life working to understand others. It is the most powerful weapon of Christianity. He says, considers others more than who? Yourself. Love your brother as you would love your what? Yourself. So if you treat yourself good, you're going to take better care of others. Build them up and identify their need. See, you don't have to walk through what they walk through to identify the need. You just have to be willing to listen, become them. Become that friend that seems to be awkward all the time. Become that person who doesn't know how to come out of their shell, or become that person that seems to be negative all the time. You're like, why are you so negative? But then you sit down with them and you begin to figure out, oh, wow, that's going on at your house. Kids are at school. That's going on at your house. Dad, did you know that this is happening at Corey's house? And there are a number of times where our kids have had empathy and we've talked and we've prayed for families because they walked in their shoes, got to know them, became a friend, and listened. And by doing that, they could provide a way of escape. Let the church say, amen. We aren't called to be like other Christians. We are called to be like who? Christ. Because to encourage is Christ-like, but to take courage away from somebody, that's antichrist. So all the Christians in the room, stand up on your feet and give God a praise offering. Right on. Build somebody up. So be an encourager on purpose. I didn't get here accidentally. I got in my car. I drove here on purpose. I'm going to a grocery store on purpose. That's the way you got to deal with the things of the kingdom, on purpose. Because if you do that, it's healthy, it's humble, and it's helpful.